So you're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. My guest today via Zoom is Ming Luke, conductor of the San Francisco Ballet, the founder and program director of the Festival Napa Valley, also principal conductor of the Nashville Ballet. We're going to talk about your work with dance companies in just a few moments, and several other ensembles, and the guest conductor with the Las Cruces Symphony the weekend of October 2nd and October 3rd coming up. Welcome from the Bay Area, more or less, in California, Ming Luke.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
Really nice to have you and looking forward to your concert. So I'd love to spend a few minutes talking about your passion, I guess, collaborating with dance companies and ballet. Let's start with that because you've included a very famous piece of music that was written for ballet, the Firebird Suite, in your program in the first weekend of October. So you've been likened to, in reviews, to the charisma and energy of Leonard Bernstein, also a conductor who loved working with dancers. So tell me a little bit where does that come from, that particular love of working with orchestra and ballet companies and maybe other dance companies?
Sure. I mean, I think that for me, the connection between movement and music is one of the reasons why I got into conducting, because there's this visceral feeling, like you can feel the music on your skin. And when you're conducting an orchestra, you're not only hearing it, but you're really actually feeling it too, because it's like the best seat in the house. Like all the instruments are right there. And like I said, their vibrations that they create, the sound waves, they just go through you. And so I always love dance because it's the same thing. It's like movement through music. And so working with ballet companies is absolutely fantastic and a lot of fun. But for me, I think in the United States especially, you get pigeonholed in certain areas of music. You know, people say, well, that person's an opera conductor, or that person's a ballet conductor. This person's a symphonic orchestral conductor. And, you know, composers didn't write like that. You know, Tchaikovsky, of course, famous for ballets, but he also wrote phenomenal symphonies. He wrote phenomenal operas as well. And so for me, I want to just be a conductor. I want to work with talented musicians and artists, like dancers too, singers, and whatever ensembles in front of me. My goal is to that we create those memorable moments, those moments that are transformative, not only for the orchestra and the performing forces, but for the audiences as well.
Do you have dance background?
I do. I started off in ballet and I did a little bit of dance. You know, as many Americans, I did a lot of music theater. And before I ended up in the pit working with operas, ballets, and of course, music theater too, I was actually on stage singing and dancing. And a local ballet company basically said, you know, we have very few guys that dance. We really need some men to partner with our girls. We'll give you free lessons if you please just join us for classes. And it's one of the reasons why I got into conducting, like I said, because it's that feeling of movement and music that are connecting together. But I'm lucky to work with, you know, in the US, there are not that many companies, ballet companies, that have orchestra, full orchestra. And so I'm lucky to work with San Francisco Ballet and Nashville Ballet. I've worked with Boston Ballet in the US and a lot of international companies too. But my balance over the year really is a lot of symphonic work, a bit of opera, a bit of ballet, pops, education. I love to do it all. So.
And you have been doing it all. I was reading that this year you're conducting with the San Francisco Orchestra, with Houston. I think there was a interesting opera concert coming up in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, in Lake Tahoe, it's a classical Tahoe is the name of the festival. And many of the Metropolitan Opera musicians will go there for their summer and play in this festival. And amazing musicians from all over the country, but an amazing guest artist too. We had this one singer, Laquita Mitchell, who has sung in many of the major opera houses around the world. And she's just absolutely gorgeous voice, gorgeous person too. But she sang the four last songs of Richard Strauss, and Mozart concert aria, Kimi Scordante, as well as Summertime from Porgy and Bess, which she's very famous for singing Bess in Porgy and Bess as well. But in Tahoe, again, it's a combination of everything. Just the week before that, I was working with a new dance company called Tahoe Dance Camp with a lot of members of the San Francisco Ballet. And so we used some of the musicians from the Met Opera and to do the collaboration of dance and music. And so again, it's just every week is something completely different, whether it's dance, whether it's symphonic, whether it's choral. And I'm really looking forward, of course, to Las Cruces Symphony's opening, season opening, because we have Mendelssohn's Reformation Symphony, we have Stravinsky's Firebird, and those are both pieces that signify, you know, coming back and rebirth. You know, the Firebird is the legend of the phoenix, which rises from the ashes. And I think we've been all missing live concert music with the orchestra. And those are two very powerful pieces, along with the Egmont Overture of Beethoven, which again starts off dark, but is very triumphant at the end.
Let's talk a little bit about the other pieces in addition to the Firebird, which we mentioned, of Stravinsky, starting out as one of his great, I think that was really the first that he collaborated with Diaghilev with the Ballet Russe. But the Reformation Symphony is an interesting pick also. I get it, because yes, we're coming back after this very, very dark period of world history and still in it. And it's not heard that often. Mendelssohn is so popular as a composer, but that symphony is not heard as often as some of the others. And I understand it, but it's more known now than it was during his lifetime. And he wrote it when he was well, of course, he died young altogether. But yeah, I'm curious with your thoughts about the Reformation Symphony.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's a very different concert order. Normally you would start off with the overture and then either have a concerto or a smaller work and then end with the symphony. And we're really mixing it up. We're actually starting with the Mendelssohn Reformation Symphony, then the overture, but it happens to be a longer overture, and the Mendelssohn Reformation Symphony is sort of a piece that I think really signifies coming back into live music. It starts off just with one single note and some of the lower ends of the orchestra beginning. And from that, all the rest of the orchestra members start to slowly come back. And it really feels like, to me, sort of that feeling of coming back, this slight, not unease, but it's again, getting used to performing together as an ensemble, for performing together for people. And so because it is a relatively shorter symphony, it actually works well to symbolize coming back and giving those first notes, or that first note, singular note, that spins itself into everything else. And of course, Mendelssohn, like you said, you know, like he did pass away pretty young, but and this is still a relatively youthful work, but it has so much brilliance and energy in it. And from this melody, My Mighty Fortresses Are Gone, it creates this entire symphony that gets woven in and out with fugues. And, you know, it's just such an energetic and powerful piece that I think it really felt like a good piece to start off the first concert, I believe, Las Cruces Symphony has had since pandemic really has started. But, you know, then Egmont Overture, like I said, Egmont Overture starts off a little bit dark. And so it felt like maybe not the best piece to actually start with, even though the ending is so brilliant and triumphant. But, you know, I think the real centerpiece, even though it's a relatively short piece, is the suite of Stravinsky's Firebird. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, colorful work, but it really is very colorfully portrays the legend of the phoenix, again, resurgence from the ashes, and has one of the most spectacular endings. So of course we had to end with Firebird.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing. I want to just say about the Egmont Overture, one of my, I have many favorite pieces. I played it first in high school orchestra. I love that piece because to me, the Egmont Overture is a Beethoven symphony in miniature. It feels like a whole symphony. You go through the whole range of moods and it has the heft of a symphony, even in a, you know, less than 10 minutes of playing, maybe. So I love that you're including that. And I think it will work beautifully with the Reformation Symphony and the Firebird.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful work. And like I said, it starts off with such, you know, intensity.
Yeah.
And exactly like you say, it just has so many ranges of color and emotion and just texture. and it really ends absolutely triumphantly. So it's a wonderful piece to end a half. And of course, the Firebird, even though it's not a really long piece, but it has so much color to it, it's going to be a spectacular concert, I think.
Yeah, it was the piece that sort of launched Stravinsky, I think, brought him to international fame. And, you know, considering how modern it was at the time, it's a classic now and so beloved. I'm speaking with Ming Luke, who's the guest conductor with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra, the first weekend of October, our first concert back after a year and a half of no concerts. So this was all supposed to take place a year ago. I'd love to talk a little bit about another one of your passions, which is to put together, I haven't heard any of them, but I gather very funny and educational programs for families and young people about classical music. So Rusty Van Beethoven and I've Got Rhythm, or maybe I don't. Tell us a little bit about how you approach your role as an educator, and you have a degree, I know, in, I think it was piano pedagogy, or was it all music education?
It was both piano pedagogy and music education. But I think for me, my goal with any age is to get people excited about music and also excited about what really is the heart of the piece. I think that sometimes, just like when we teach history, history is not about dates or memorizing what battle was where and whatnot. It's about the themes that run through history and what it means for us as a society and people. And I think with music, it's the same thing. It's not necessarily like understanding the story or, you know, understanding that this piece was written in reaction to, let's say, Beethoven's Eroica Symphony. Everybody knows that, you know, Napoleon crowned himself emperor and Beethoven crossed out this, Napoleon's name on it. But we never talk about the heart of the music itself, like what makes the music special. And so whether it's talking to kids or patrons, board members, anybody, I really like getting people excited about the heart of what music is about. And so, for instance, the one about Rusty Van Beethoven and American, what makes American music, right? You know, we talk about this melting pot in America and various cultures coming together and sort of mixing and influencing with each other. We can see that in the music. And so if you have the syncopations of Scott Joplin, you know, as a piano player, and then you put it together with the classical music and, for instance, let's say marching bands that came from, you know, military marching bands or that became Sousa and became very patriotic, all of a sudden you put that with the syncopations of Scott Joplin, you got Dixieland music. Right? That's exactly, you can actually hear how those two cultures came together. And then if you hear the jazz of the street mixed with a symphony orchestra, that's exactly what Gershwin did to create jazz with the orchestra. That's what Porgy and Bess is. That's what American in Paris is. And so when you actually talk about what is special about the music, it is, I think, really, really exciting and really engaging. And kids can be entertained by music and be educated by music at the same time. You know, Stravinsky has this great quote. He says that music appreciation is too much about appreciation. You must appreciate the music when it's not enough about the music. And we know that kids will listen to music and love music, whatever genre, when they're young, whether it's like rock music, whether it's avant-garde, classical, obscure music, whether it's Mozart, whether it's Beethoven, they just have a natural affinity to music. We also know that every single society that has ever existed in the entire world has had music as part of the culture. So there is something special about the way we communicate with music. And classical music to me is like the most powerful because it really encompasses the entirety of human experience, emotion, drama, sadness, triumph. And so, you know, I think talking about the music, getting excited about it, not speaking down to kids like you need to learn to appreciate this music, not speaking down to patrons about you need to appreciate it to understand it, just getting people excited about it. Like Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Everybody says, there's a chorus. It's fantastic. But the part that's 6 minutes before, in the beginning of the fourth movement, before there's a chorus, he tries his hardest with the orchestra to say what he wants to say. And he shows you, I can't do it with instruments alone. I need voices. I need soloists. I need a chorus. And so those 6 minutes of instrumental music right before the chorus comes out is one of the most special moments because you can hear him get frustrated. You can hear him say, I can't do it. I can't say what I want to say.
And so when the voices come out, it's like all of a sudden this huge relief that he gets to say what he wants to say. And so it's like, we never talk about those 6 minutes. We talk about the chorus. We talk about the singers. And it's like the moment before that, that's almost one of the most important things. Like Firebird, like you said, most orchestras just play Firebird. They're like, you know, this is really great, fantastic music. But they never talk about, you know, the ideas that the idea that it's based off of dance, that there is movement to it, that there is like, you know, like really sort of a pulse to it that is based off of physical movement. And so these things, I think, really make the music special. Mendelssohn Reformation Symphony, like we're talking about, I mean, like Mendelssohn was utterly brilliant. I mean, like almost rivaled Mozart, if not rivaled Mozart in terms of his absolute brilliance. Could compose entire symphonies in head, et cetera, all the normal stories that we hear about geniuses. But he, even though it wasn't in style at the time, created this ridiculous fugue, one voice following each other. And it's like this big knotted puzzle that he makes sound so beautifully clear in the last movement. And it's just, it's an utterly stupendous moment where you're just like, no, this kid is something special. I mean, like he was one of the great geniuses of music, like Beethoven, like Stravinsky. And so, you know, I think it's just, it's like you said, you know, the range of color from Beethoven in an overture. I just learned this new piece the other day by Mozart, where he was making fun of all the other composers, like Mozart does, when making fun of all the other composers. And he put all the schlock and typical things that composers used to do in music and just kind of put it into one piece. It's like, look, they repeat this over and over again, so I'm just going to make fun of them and do this and whatnot. But you can never say that about Beethoven. You know, Egmont Overture, like you said, it's like an entire symphony encapsulated in this overture that's just 10 minutes long, but it has completely different parts, completely different emotions, textures, color. So I just like getting people excited about music. And with education programs, I want them to be excited, not talked down to, and still feel like they learned something. And the same thing, I want audiences to come into symphonic concerts just wanting more. They want to hear the next concert. They want to hear more symphony orchestras and, with Las Cruces, with you know the rest of the concerts of the season, check out the repertoire and just get excited about the next time.
Thank you so much, Ming Luke, for joining me on Zoom on a weekend so that we can get to know you a little bit before your concerts coming up here in Las Cruces, October 2nd and October 3rd. October 2nd, Saturday night concert at 7:30, October 3rd at 3 o'clock. Ming Luke making your debut with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra as part of a year of guest conductors. And it's been a delight talking with you.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it very, very much.